It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street, world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm joined by Jake Roos and former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan, the guy you're all here to see. I know we're just kind of take up room. Our job is to feed him questions. His job is to give you answers and hopefully brought a joke or two. So we have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk a little recruiting. We'll talk a little draft. We'll talk a little bit of food. We'll talk a little bit of everything. So we got a great show, so be sure to check it out. While you're here, be sure to like the 11 Alive Sports page. That's where you're watching it. I mean, even if we shared it on another page, 11 Alive Sports are the ones that let us do this show. They let us have their
and
Facebook
if you
page.
Do, you will get.
Yes, if you do. We've done this 2 weeks in a row. This is week three. We're going to go through 4 weeks. We have a pair of game-worn Georgia gloves.
Ooh, very nice.
From the Rose Bowl.
Very nice.
So if you were one of the people that shares this, your name will go into a drawing, and you can get those cool logo gloves. So I'm not going to tell you who wore these because I'm not 100% certain.
I know they look like DB gloves to me.
Well, they're extra large.
I know
whose locker in front of I picked these up. But I cannot say with 100% certainty that is that
person. How'd we do last week so we can advertise?
Well, I'm just saying that person was
shares.
It was a starter.
We topped 50 last week for
go.
Sure. So right. Definitely want to keep that rolling this week.
So just go ahead and click share. Put it on your Facebook page. Let all your friends see what you're watching. You know, unless you're at work. We understand if you're working, don't want to get in trouble with the boss.
Well, it's lunchtime. They can do
yeah,
it.
There you go. That's true. Speaking of lunch, you should swing by Champy's Fried Chicken when you get a chance. We've had some of our readers pop in here. I see Mr. Jason over there give a big old plate of food. So shout out to him. What we have right now on the table, because we do this every week, we talk about what we've got here at Champy's. They're doing a sandwich special. Every time you come in, Monday through Friday, they have a different special that day. Right now, I know Jake's taking home the chicken melt.
Oh, I had it last week. It was incredible.
They've got a patty melt, too, which is phenomenal. I had that the other day. Coach always steals the catfish chicken sandwich. I mean, catfish sandwich. So I haven't had one.
You consider that stealing?
I mean, well, I wanted one last week, and you took it. So that's stealing.
Hey, you can have whatever you want.
So anyway, swing by Champy's and try it out. Best food you'll get. I did find a place that had tamales just as good, but you have to go all the way to Indianapolis to try it. So,
not worth it.
Yeah, not worth it.
There, yeah,
and it's cold up there.
There's nothing close.
No. So swing by Champy's and try the tamales if you get a chance. They're phenomenal. I also want to thank very much Athens Ford. You know, I was driving by some of the Ford dealerships, and I kind of look at them, and I get a little uppity. I'm like, you're not Athens Ford because you don't offer the lifetime powertrain warranty on all your vehicles like they do. So be sure to swing by Athens Ford if you need a new or used vehicle. They're into March now. They've got a lot of good deals out there. It's that, you know, spring, the nice weather, time to get a new vehicle, time to get or, you know, if you need a new used vehicle like I do. You can swing out there, and if it's under 80,000 miles, you can get the lifetime powertrain warranty, even if it's not one of their vehicles. So the service they do out there is phenomenal, especially if you want your service done on your truck. They do all those lift packages. I mean, they do all kinds of their bays for the service thing are like – it looks like 3 football fields long. I mean, you're not going to wait on if you need a standard service or you want to do something customized. They can knock it out for you. And swing out there, those friendliest salespeople I've ever dealt with. Also want to thank Your Pie. Indianapolis would be a good place to actually open a few of those because they need a good pizza joint out there. Your Pie is a restaurant chain. I say a chain. There are 50 locations. It was all started by Drew French, the founder of Your Pie. We are into March. So what day is it? The 6th? Today's the 6th, the day after Justin Fields' birthday.
Yes.
And more importantly, Ollie Nabulsi's birthday. So,
yeah. He shares a birthday with Justin.
He does. Well, Justin shares one with him.
There you go.
What day was that?
Yesterday. Was
the 5th?
Yeah, the 5th was my son's birthday. And
4th was my daughter's. That's great.
Well, there you go. So, the good people are apparently born in March. And on March 14th, 3.14, you know, pie for all you people that didn't go
Nerds.
To Georgia. So all you people that didn't go to Georgia don't know that 3.14 is the standard derivation for pie. Of course, it goes on and on and on. If you swing by any of the Your Pie locations on March 14th, you can get one of their personal pizzas. I mean, they're pretty big, and you tell them what dough you want, you tell them what sauce, what toppings you want, and it's phenomenal. It's the best pizza you can get, and you'll get it for $3.14. And I suggest getting there early because those places get packed on Pi Day. Drew French and the folks at EuroPie make a big deal out of it, so we're in March. It's getting close. It's, 8 days now? So very close.
Yes.
Shout out to Robert Wall out at Cable East. Robert, thanks so much for being a sponsor of the show. I know it's raining out, but if it's not, then maybe he'll, when it dries up here and if it's not too cold, we'll see him out on the golf course. I want to give a little quick shout out to a local brewer here. Brew Pub over right behind the racetrack on Atlanta Highway next to the Georgia Mall, if you're familiar with that area. If not, you'll see their big black bus out front, and it's called Academia. And it's one of our readers at UGASports.com. This guy has opened up a brew pub. So they have a restaurant there. They have great food. And they also have some fantastic beer. I'm drinking the ESB from Academia.
I got the High Q here, the IPA, which is quite tasty.
Just to prove that I listen to everything you do on the intro, just to show you that I'm not near as dumb as I look or sound.
Impossible.
I actually went to Academia on Sunday.
Did you?
And had lunch, and it was outstanding. I mean, my whole crew was just, we had just about anything on the menu with seven people, like a little birthday party. But I'm just going to tell you, it's hard to please everybody, you know what I mean, when you go into a group like that. So I can give you an A-plus rating on that from the old coach.
There you go. Wow. All right.
Unsolicited testimonial.
And I talked to a friend who went there yesterday. And he had something different than what I had told him to get, and he liked that too. So as much as I like Champions, Champions is still up there, you know, for everybody. But, hey, this is a place we got to get some of the dog fans out there because great atmosphere, good TVs.
Well, I mean, you got a good relationship because, I mean, if you come into Champions, you can get their beer. They got two of them on tap here.
Exactly, exactly. We got to take care of all of them. But, you know, the best kind of –
shop local.
The best thing you can do, though, is unsolicited stuff like that because I'm not going to – hey, everybody knows I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Like I told that guy the one time when he asked me about the tight ends on the radio. So I asked him, I said, did you go to the game? Where were you? Didn't you see that guy catch four passes? I mean, did somebody tell you that we didn't throw it to him? But, or that time the accountant asked me, do y'all practice blocking and tackling?
Oh.
No, we don't. Let me ask you this. Do you use a calculator? Hey, you know, so let's go on. This is good.
Well, it's funny you say that. I remember someone in the media last year. Pretty sure it was last year. Maybe, no, I take it back. I think it was a year before. In one of the press conferences, asked Kirby Smart about playing Ben Cleveland, trying him out on the line or something like that, and basically shuffling the line about. And the question stemmed from, you know, a lot of people are talking about moving these guys around and have you tried that in practice? And Kirby bit his head off. And, you know, I should defend my media brethren, but I was like, dude, did you just ask a coach if he tried an offensive lineman on the offensive line in a different spot?
Yeah, I mean,
and Kirby was offended. And, you know, normally he holds his cool, but he was hot. You were there.
Yeah,
everybody has got good questions that they want to know. And you just got to realize, I mean, these guys, life or death, everything they do, you know, is scrutinized. And but I promise you, there's anything that anybody ever would think of out here, it's going through the minds of all those coaches and those analysts and those everybody they got. That part of your deal is developing personnel and being flexible and talking to people about, you know, could this guy play here or play there? And is this guy just a receiver on one side? Can he play inside? You know, all those little things that everybody talks about. But I tell you what, I watched the draft, and holy moly, do they get scrutinized. I mean, just unbelievable. But here's the thing. Put the tape on, man. Hey, this is not a sissy thing. You don't play football in sports. You don't test at halftime, you know, how many bench presses and all that. And you don't – you know, all those are good indicators, and for everyone that you take that doesn't pass that, there's not many guys that ever can make the pros without those kind of, you know, specifics, but there's always a couple.
It's kind of like checking the box. And also, before we get too far into this, I want to give a shout-out to 365 Game Day. They're also
my
good
bad.
No, it's okay. It's one of our partners.
And I like to get involved with 365 Game Day, too, like I would Academy, but I haven't gotten any stuff from them yet.
Well, I will tell you, I've got some
but
stuff.
But I got so much stuff in my closet I've never even opened up. That's still, it's probably back when Coach Dooley was here, maybe. Yeah.
Well, for those of you that don't have tons and tons of gear, if you want to swing by 365 Game Day, they're, again, another huge Georgia fan. I know the guy personally. If you want to swing by and help them out, yes, you can go to the Rivals store at UGA Sports and buy your T-shirts and hats and all that stuff, or you can go by 365 Game Day. I mean, we would get a slice of the stuff you buy at Rivals. It's a tiny little piece, but honestly, I'd rather you go by 365 Game Day and give patronage the people who are huge fans who are doing it for a living day after day. So.
Yeah, I mean, a Georgia fan doesn't need to be riding around with a Rivals hat on.
I mean, the Rivals hat is all – I mean, the Rivals store has all the Georgia logo stuff.
Oh, they
stuff.
Do?
Yeah.
Where's and that store?
It's all just online.
Oh, okay.
Know? So, and if you go there and you buy your, Georgia T-shirt and stuff, I think we get 2%, 3%, something like that, which is great. You know, and we're not going to turn it down, but – I would rather you go to 365 Game Day and get
is that all online for 365?
Yeah, exactly. So 365gameday.com, and they have, you know, FSU store, an Alabama store, a Georgia store. And the guy that runs the Georgia store is a good friend. It's funny, we argue back and forth. We argue all the time.
But you do that with a lot of people,
I do.
Though.
But when it comes to sports, this guy is a huge Georgia fan, and he's got a good family, and he's a good person, unlike me. So be sure to help them out. Now, you're talking about the draft and combine. I just got back from Indianapolis. Spent 4 days up there talking to the 10 Georgia players who are at the combine. And you're right. I mean, you're not going to if you want to know if Sony Michel is a good running back, you don't need to watch how many reps he does on the bench. But I think what it comes down to is, A, some of it's traditional. B, what they are really doing is they are doing the teams are there for the health analysis. They send you over to the hospital. They do all the x-rays.
Well, for example, Mo Hurst from Michigan showed up, found out he had a heart condition, and they had to send him home. So, I mean, you know, things like that are becoming a little bit more commonplace. Yeah. But that's one of the big things
you
that you've got
to do.
Another guy found out he had an ACL tear a couple years ago, I mean, from Georgia, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's like, hey, did you know he had a tear?
Found out he didn't even have an ACL, remember that? And still played every game like the Russians were in St. Louis. I mean, he was unbelievable, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you this about the everybody's got to remember about the combine. When you think about the millions of dollars that are involved in all these teams, and, you know, they came out yesterday that their salary cap is going to be $177 million. It seems like a lot of money, but, you know, there's a lot of players involved. But you can't afford to risk a lot of money here on a draft pick that's going to have some kind of red flag with his physical or mental condition. So that's why they do such a tremendous job of checking them out.
And I
think the same thing's true, which I want to make this point for you start talking about the comment. I think the same thing's true more so now for high school athletes with all these combines that you guys have, with all these recruiting sites, everything. It's hard for somebody to slip through the cracks with something that's wrong with them. You know what I mean? Whether it's whatever it might be, academic, like a guy just barely can get in school, and somebody in his school all of a sudden texts a guy at another school. How's this guy going to get in? He doesn't have the grades. Somebody's checking him out. You know what I mean? You just can't get by with something like that.
Well, you bring that up. Who was the linebacker, Georgia? Was it Caleb Tanner?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Yeah. There was a question about grades.
Yep.
You know, and Georgia wanted him. Don't get me wrong. You know, and then he winds up decommitting. But there's a situation where, you know, it was a grades issue. And as Coach pointed out, you know, I think you get two or three different visits to the school, you know, in the open periods. One of them or two of them are academic. You don't get to go see the kid. You just get to go check on his grades and stuff. So, to your point, you can't – these guys are making multi-million dollar investments to these NFL teams when – and you're thinking about taking Nick Chubb, and the first thing you're going to do, and he pointed this out, he goes, everybody wanted to know about my knee. And I guarantee you they watched him run that 4.52 40, and they're like, okay, that, you know, $3.50 will get you a Venti, you know, mochaccino over at Starbucks. But what they wanted to see was that x-ray and that MRI and all the stuff on his knee, because if they're going to give him, you know, a big contract, they want to be sure that he's fine. And, you know, when they see him make the, you know, jump, what, 38 and a half inches, they're like, oh, wow, that's pretty impressive. They see him do 29 reps, they're like, wow, you know, this kid's Okay, and they take it all together. So it's not, you know, somebody, I see this all the time. A guy runs a, like Lorenzo Carter ran at 4.46.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, Lorenzo just made a lot of money. If he's running 40 yards, there's a problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but it does
but
show that.
I'm going to tell you what.
It, again, it's just checking the boxes. Checking
not
the boxes.
A lot of guys are walking down the street 6'6", 250, running 4.46.
No, but I mean, they're not going to draft him just on that.
We had two guys on defense that outran our two backs.
And your wide receiver.
And
speaking of, let me run through those numbers real quick. You had officially, you had Lorenzo Carter run a 4.5 at 250 pounds. Roquan Smith ran a 4.51. So just a 1/100th of a second after your outside linebacker, your inside linebacker. Both of those were faster than Nick Chubb at 4.52. Then you had Javon Wims at 4.53, your wide receiver. And then you had Sony Michel at 4.54. So like 5.0, 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, 5.4. That is a consistent.
Yeah.
And again, the two linebackers
Georgia
beat the two
up.
Running backs and the wide
Georgia
receiver.
Showed up fast. I mean, they really did.
Can you basically – we probably wouldn't be having this show because there wouldn't be that much interest. Can you imagine if those guys didn't come back?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nah.
And they all could have been in the combine last year. Yes.
We'd be talking about the Liberty Bowl again.
We might have been – you know, we would have had a better year because we were improved in a lot of areas, but – just the symbolism, the leadership they provided, everything about it. And that's going to help them in the draft, too. I mean, when you see our Roquan Smith stand up there and articulate what it's like to be on a team, I mean, coaches like to hear that now.
Oh, yeah.
And you see the quiet confidence he has. And it's hard to have a defense in pro football without a guy out there that can get your team in the same position that your offensive team. That's why they put a headset inside a defensive player just like to have a quarterback.
Yep.
So the defensive coordinator is telling them, hey, it's 3rd and 6. We got to watch out for 5 wides. You know, you got 15 seconds to get your play in and give them a couple tips. So Roquan will be good. I mean, he'll be a defensive signal caller up there.
Oh, absolutely. And I will say this, like some of the heck, I think Trenton Thompson ran a 5.09. So for your
288. I mean, he looked slim.
He did. He was so skinny. And he looked scared. He looked nervous.
Well,
my interview with him,
I mean, hey, but he didn't do as good maybe on the interview, but that's not one. They're not going to have him out there before the game singing the national anthem or anything.
But and again, that was our interview, which is kind of pointless. The interviews he did with the teams, and when he started railing, naming them off, you know, it was like Titans, Chargers, Raiders. I mean, he just went down the list. Everybody was interested in Big Trenton. So
I started to text you out there, which I thought was really salient to the deal. Mr. Question, whoever was up there, you made up for anything you missed on asking them all year long.
Yes.
But you were in the background. This guy, see the other people around there, where did this guy know? It was like, I said, Rodney is setting it on fire out there with the question. I mean, you ask them everything except their blood type now. And you ask
I asked them that off the record.
Hey, but you had some stuff right there in front of him. I said, Rodney's on fire. I mean, how long did you have with him?
Sometimes we had about 12, 13 minutes.
But so, seriously, what was the least amount of questions you asked one Georgia player?
Maybe 6.
I mean, come on.
Well, I
you're
mean,
taking advantage of that exposure, weren't
absolutely.
You?
Well,
but I'm going to
hey,
tell you
nobody
this.
Else from our market
yeah,
was up
yeah,
there.
That's
so.
The thing I'm going to say right there. That's the difference between culture and agriculture. Our site and everybody else. Who else would have sent somebody out there like that to ask them those questions? Because people, you had a report every day. At the same time, Jake was talking about recruits that were here last weekend. I mean, if you want some Georgia stuff, man, you just, I mean, I don't know if Kirby reads it or not. He probably needs to find out what he's doing. You know? I mean, come on.
We'll tell you what Kirby's doing today, and he can check it, find out where he is. Where
I
his
mean,
meetings
every
are this
day,
week.
Every day they got somebody in here. They had a guy in there yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, where was that kid from yesterday? Breezy or something like that? I don't know what his name is. Tight end, defensive end.
Oh, well, I did a kid yesterday, Ryan Davis, out of Wakiva High School down in Apopka, Florida.
Oh, this kid was from up north.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'll have to look
I
into
thought
that.
It was yours that talked about him, but hey, but I just love to read about the guys and find out about who we're after.
Yeah, a lot of offers went out this week. So, because again, and it
just,
used to be that.
What we've just offered, 386? Yeah.
Well, it used to be that Georgia would have a junior day where they'd bring in, you know, the rising junior. I mean, the juniors this year, the rising seniors for next year, because they'd say, okay, all the seniors are signed and that class is put to bed. Now, hey, all you juniors, let's, you know, come up here and we want to. do some, you know, we'll do a few measurements. We'll take you on a tour. We'll show you our academics. We'll show you the, you know, where you'll sleep. You know, we'll show you the locker room. We'll let you take pictures with the jerseys on. We'll feed you. We'll talk to your parents. We'll have the academic counselors there. You know, and it's a good tour. And I remember, you know, it used to be that we would, I would stalk outside. I mean, I made Jake do it too. We'd sit in the parking lot
over at Bear
and wait for these kids to get done with their meeting. When they walk out, we're like, "Hey, come here!"
And we hop out of the bush
and interview them. But now it's every week. There's no point in going over there.
My second year here, we decided to start doing the junior day, and the game was against Florida. And Billy Donovan and I coached together at Marshall, so we had a relationship. So I went over there before the game and saw his dad, who always came to the games with me, and talked to Billy and Pelfrey and a couple of those other guys who coach at Marshall. But Jeremy Foley was on the trip, and I'd never actually met Jeremy except at, just to say hello. And he said, "Coach, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I thought y'all already finished your signing, didn't you? And you already got all your players?" And I said, "Yeah, we got them all." He said, "Well, who are all those kids over there?" I said, "Well, they're juniors we're looking at for next year." And he looked at me like, so on Monday, Spurrier called me. I said, "What are y'all doing up there?" I said, "Coach, we're trying to catch up with you." Hey, we caught up with them that year, too. We beat them so finally, but it wasn't because of those kids. But I mean, it's just that's 1997. I think that's the first time we ever did it.
Right. It was years later, we start covering the junior days, and we would have a big list, a big preamble. You know, here are all the kids coming to Georgia's junior day. Look for this kid to get an offer. Look, you know, and then a couple guys would actually announce on signing day. I mean, on junior day, they already knew they were coming, and they'd show up, and then you know, they'd see a tweet or Facebook post, or they'd call their coach, and you know, we'd break news. Now, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Georgia coaches have somebody in there.
They're rolling them through.
I mean, there's, and what they got away from doing they have the regular junior day, and then they have the kind of their select junior day where they got some guys coming in, but they, to your point, Coach, they are spreading them out so that when the guys come in, I mean, we covered one junior day that had like 400 kids there.
Yeah.
If you've got 30 guys who are your top players, you're not spending any time with them.
Right.
So they say, "Look, everybody's coming tomorrow on Saturday. Why don't you come up on Sunday, and then you can spend all this time with Jim Chaney, I mean, with James Coley or Jim Chaney or
And here's
you know,
what I
Clint
like
Schumann.
About it, too. If anybody – They pass this rule now where it used to be you couldn't have a pick with a coach or anything like that. But now these kids, because of Instagram or whatever it might be, they put these, you know, had a great visit at Georgia, and then they showed three or four picks of them. You know, one with a uniform on, one with a coach, one with a parent. Just look at the kid's face of some of them compared to the others. And that really gives you a pretty good feel to me. Not just, you know, there could be a guy that's not smiling that might be coming here, but it's just something about seeing those guys, what a thrill it is to have on that uniform and be there, right there in that atmosphere, knowing that they're going to have that opportunity to come to this school, and they just got set on fire by the coaches talking to them about what their prognosis was for them. But I really like that from a symbolism standpoint, because it just gives you a good feel of about what's going to happen. Now, you can't really project that all the way, but you know, I don't like a sourpuss. I mean, a guy that can find something wrong with anything, you know, prophet of doom, you know, it's just it's terrible for somebody not to have it. And I would give you my philosophy today about attitude, because driving over here, my windshield wipers are on, okay? And every time the rain hits the window, it knocks it off. When you have something bad happen to you in the game, you got to pretend like your windshield wiper. You got to forget about what happened and go on to the next play and don't worry about it, because there's nothing you can do about it. That rain's gone, man, everything. So, hey, we're going to have a windshield wiper philosophy around here. Don't worry about something you got no control over now. Hey, it's in the past. You can't – hey, we got a bad call. So what? What can we do about it? You know,
life lessons from the coach man. You're only getting that
the
here.
The wipers, man.
He and Eddie Rabbit.
Oh, don't get me with Eddie Rabbit. But anyhow, we got so many questions here, we couldn't answer if we stayed here for 3 days and 14 nights.
Let's see. Let's hop into a few of them.
Some good recruiting stories from you guys. I mean, I love this stuff.
Yeah, the recruiting, like you said, has been crazy. If you
tell us about Papo,
okay?
No. We can't start with Papo first. I got to veto that. You got to start with Rambo.
Every week.
Rambo.
This kid gets.
But there's been a new.
We just need
update.
A segment on him. We're just going to call the segment First Blood.
Yeah.
This is. so this is. If you're following along, if you've been following along for the past couple of weeks, Rambo Hunter, Derek Hunter, out of. Help me here, Dunbar High School in Fort Myers, Florida. One of the top 100 players in America. Huge interest in Georgia. We've been reporting that, no problem. Yesterday, something comes out on Twitter, says, hey, he's committed. He's committed to Georgia. I call him.
There was a news report.
Yeah, from the local newspaper in right. Fort Myers. I DM him immediately on Twitter. I say, hey, what's the deal? Is this true? He says, no, it's silent. Call me. So I called him.
He says, silent.
Yeah, he says, I'm not publicly committed anywhere. He said, I'm keeping things under wraps. What it comes down to is this. Georgia is far and away the leader right now. They're the team to beat, and it's probable that he has told the coaches that he's coming.
What's his star?
At this point.
What is he?
He's a 4-star Rivals 100 player, so he's one of the top in the nation.
Good.
Which means we expect him to be anywhere from a, you know, first to fourth round draft pick.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You want those guys. That,
yep.
So
and on defensive line,
when you get
what you
too
need.
Much sure. publicity early worries me. But
yeah, if he's not as good as we think he is, he'll drop.
He's a former Miami commit. I called him. He said, look, I'm not publicly committed anywhere. He said, I want to do something during the All-Star game. So that's what we told our folks. And that's the case.
Was this anything to do with that Miami coach leaving and going to Bama? Or?
No. Although that was his guy at Miami for sure. This was a situation where I think you just got a kid, if I'm just being totally frank with you, who is a hell of a football player. But he's still developing his media skills,
right?
And so he's still kind of learning who to talk to, who to trust, and what to tell when.
So when he basically says, you know, he puts "Attack the Day" and he puts the Georgia logo and puts "Georgia Commit" in his Twitter profile, he doesn't really think that people are going to see that and take him at his word that he is a Georgia commit. So
I warned him.
And how many times has he visited?
I believe he has not visited.
So, he hasn't.
He's got one coming up, but right. He hasn't.
So to this point, you know, let's get him on campus. And, you know, if you're a reporter.
Have we definitely offered him?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And I don't want to slam the local newspaper down there, because if a kid says, yeah, I told Kirby Smart I was coming, and he tells you that on the record, well, then you're like, well, then this kid's committed. And you take that and, you know, you write up your story. Hey, he told Kirby Smart he's coming. Let's wait, though, and to call him a Georgia commit until he says, I am officially committed to the University of Georgia, simply because. And I know a lot of people want us to go ahead and mark him and move him over, you know, slide him over.
Sure.
You've seen guys decommit before. He has not visited.
Adamson, Brent Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I'm hearing so many good things about Brent Cox, I can't even tell you guys how good he is.
Wow.
We'll get back to that in just a second.
Yeah, let's come back to that.
So anyway, that's the Rambo update.
I'm not going to, but it just sounded –
Yeah,
I had to throw that little dart in there.
But to Jake's point, the kid said we go by what they officially say, and he says he's not publicly committed anywhere. Is he silently committed? I think so. You know, but again, you know, you can tell the coaches. It's just like the thing we say about offers. There are so many coaches out there that will say, "Son, we would love to have you come play at our university," and then they go to Twitter and go, "Hey, I was offered by so and so." No, you were not offered until they say you have a full ride. We're going to pay for your schooling. You do not have an offer.
Yeah.
Now, they would love for you to come play at their university on your dime. You know, and that heck, they might even give you a preferred walk-on spot. But until they say you have a full-ride scholarship and it's not an offer. And also, you need to ask them, can I commit? You're giving me that offer. Can I announce? And then they'll say, well, you know, we'd really like you to come to camp. Okay, so now you have a offer with a contingency on it. They want to see you, you know, like we saw at the Combine. All of a sudden, you know, these
not so fast there. That's
yeah,
what you're saying.
Exactly. We saw a few guys listed at 6'4" in high school, JUCO, and at UGA. All of a sudden, they're 6'2" and 7'8".
Right. Yeah. 6'2", exactly.
5'8".
Hey, and
what happened to that inch and a quarter?
Any recruits out there watching this? Listen, you better be careful who you're telling you run a 4.3 or a 4.4 to, because I watched the combine and there aren't that many guys doing it, and that's after 4 years of collegiate strength and training. So just be honest. I mean, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to own it. You know what I'm saying?
You just don't do it, man.
You could be a 4.5, 4.6 guy. You're still going to get a scholarship off.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
I would say there's a lot more guys 4.5 and up playing college football in the skill positions than there are 4.5 and down.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you saw that.
We shouldn't have taken Chubb and Michelle. I
mean, yeah, yeah. Too slow.
Please don't put that on Twitter. I'm just being
too late.
There, but,
too late.
Know, they'll bust me up on that.
It's breaking news. No.
It's like that guy said on his questionnaire. He says, "What do you run the 40 in?" He said, "Shirt, shorts, and a jock."
Exactly.
I did have someone ask me a good question. They said, "Why don't they run it? And why aren't they running the 40 in pads and helmet?" And I'm like, it always brings me back to.
Yeah, I used to hate that. Our coach said, "You play football in pads and everything." We had to run the 40 when I was playing in full pads and high top shoes.
What was your 40 time?
It was good. I did break 5, but I ran a lot faster when I'm out in my pads on.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Well, it's funny.
But I told him, I said, "Coach, I'm worried about pulling the ham. I got to punt today." So I got out of it a lot of times. I mean, just
slacker. Get that deferment.
I wasn't very big, but I sure was slow.
I remember when.
Seriously, did you ever see that questionnaire where the guy sent in from another school that we got here at Georgia?
Mm-mm.
It said, "Sex, once at the drive-in." And it says, and mom's alma mater, you know, or something said, "What would you like to major in?" He said, "Agriculture, I like to draw." I mean, and it was terrible.
You recruited this kid.
Church preference, red brick. That was a funny one. But that's pretty bad. But we kidded and put it out there, you know, like it was from some other school. But guy really sent it in.
Oh, my God. That's brutal. Let's switch to – we talked about Rambo. Give me the latest on Papo.
Okay, so Papo, Owen Papo, number 21, I believe, in our Rivals 100 this year. Let me double-check that real quick. Yes, 21.
Is he inside or outside?
He is going to probably, I think, be an inside guy. He's he's a little bit on the hybrid edge. You know, he could maybe drop back even and play some of that star position, the enforcer, as they're calling it now. But a super quick kid, reminds a lot of people of Roquan Smith. We've got the story up at UGASports.com right now, so you can go over and check it out. He's come out and named his leader, and I'll spoil the surprise. It's Georgia, and that's huge news for Georgia. This is a guy that is a priority for a ton of teams around the Southeast and on the nation.
How big is he now?
We've got him at 6'2", 202.
Good.
Runs so well.
Watch the tape. Cut him on. He makes plays.
And he has. I mean, this what he's a junior now.
Yeah,
he's been a starter as a freshman.
In the ninth grade, and all they were talking about going to all these other places. And then what's Georgia going to do? Hey, I just figured. But Grayson, I mean, we played Grayson in tennis the other day. Oconee JV's, and this lady was out there. I said, "What's going to happen with Papa?" "Oh, he's coming to Georgia." I said, "That's great. We got him, you know."
There's an inside scoop. Yeah, you're scooping me,
I mean,
coach.
Right there. I mean, it's the lady on the tennis team. You know, you hear stuff like that. You'd hate for him to say, "Well, he doesn't like," you know. But I like it when they talk like that.
It's funny you say that, because a lot of times people say, "Well, how do you guys know all this stuff?" And the great thing about UGASports.com, where we work, we have people all over the state. And all of a sudden, you know, a coach shows up at a school, and they're like, "Hey, Jake, did you know Kirby was here?" And we're like, "Oh, we did not know Kirby was there." And then all of a sudden, you know, pops out, Kirby was there. And lots of times, go back to Owen Condon. One of the guys on his visit in the summer was a reader of our site. And he kept us updated on everything that was going on. And then the kid committed. We knew about it first. We reported it first. Isaiah Wilson. one of our readers happens to be in New York,
yep.
you know, and gave us updates all the time. We wind up talking to, you know, some of the JV tennis coach at Grayson might be a member of our site, and they read all our stuff. We have women, men, kids all over the country, all over the state, all over the Southeast. A lot of them here at the university that give us updates on stuff like that. And then people ask us, well, where do you think this kid's going? And you have to gauge how close they are to it. And sometimes we've spoken to a pastor. Sometimes we've spoken to a trainer. Sometimes we've spoken to a kid in their
science class.
Absolutely. And there was one kid. I sent him a graduation gift because he was at a school that was just loaded with Georgia kids. And that kid kept me in the loop on what everyone was doing. And he was right 100% of the time because he spoke to him all the time.
Nothing wrong with bribing the other kids at the school. We're not bribing athletes.
Well, no, he'd helped me so much, and then he graduated. And I'm like, you know,
great.
This kid was great. I said, send me your address. He sent it to me. I sent him a graduation gift. I'm like, you've been such a good help. He wouldn't tell me stuff that they wanted kept quiet, but the stuff that he could, he did. And
the best insight I ever had was from Father Jones, a Catholic priest in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Really?
And the lady that worked for the parish there, helped do some cooking, cleaning up and all. Her son was named Bun, B-U-N, Rames. He was a nose tackle. He was a cold-blooded killer. He was a good player. And Father Jones just – he would call us up and tell us everything Bud was doing. I mean, I said, you know, it was great. And so finally we get him on the official visit. He said, Coach, he will not get on that plane unless you bring a coach down here to go with him. Never been on a plane before. And I've had it happen here one time, which I told him. So I go down there, and we're on this little catfish plane. I mean, it's not a very good plane. And weather's bad. Nothing really bad, but we get there and land and everything. He said, Coach, I just want to tell you one thing. I'm going to come to Carolina as long as I don't have to ride back on a plane home. And so I called up Father Jones. I said, I'm going to have to drive him down there. He didn't want to fly back. He said, that's fine and everything. But we had the inside scoop from a Catholic priest, man. I mean, he was delivering the deal.
Wait, aren't they supposed to have all sorts of
he wasn't in there in confession or anything. But, I mean, it was a good deal. I mean, you got that preacher telling you that stuff.
Hey,
you know?
And we get it from people like that all the time.
Like I said, there have been a couple pastors that have helped us out greatly.
Some of the most surprising people you would never expect. And I tell recruits that all the time. You got to be careful who you say what to because it'll trickles down.
It'll your come circle. Back. But you got to have, hopefully, you got to get enough resources and good enough within the situation where you feel good about your one-on-one with the kid. You know, if guys BS and you don't know how much you really want a guy like that either. I mean, hey.
All right. Let's hop in on a couple of questions here. We've got several regarding the combine, so I think that we should maybe touch on those.
Just talk to St. Elmo over there.
Yeah.
He didn't even go to the place.
I did not, but I found the greatest tamale place you'll ever see.
Maurice Carter, one of our frequent listeners, one of our frequent watchers. Thank you, as always, Maurice. He says, out of all the Georgia players that competed in the combine, which players do you think will be drafted in the first round? Which guys kind of set themselves apart? I mean, Roquan is the easy pick.
Yeah,
he's top 10 in every mock draft I've seen. Pretty much a consensus top 10 pick.
I'd say Roquan and Wynn are two that I feel like are going to.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that.
The other three could. With Chubb, Michelle, and Carter could go late first or second or third. You just never know. A lot of it depends on the team, way the draft goes, back and forth. But, I mean, we're going to have five guys like that right up there. And then Trenton, you know, his workout when he comes here is going to be huge, I think. That's going to be great. What, March 21st?
Yes, sir.
When they come in for that. And
speaking of, so it was very odd. A lot of the Georgia guys did not – do the bench reps up there. They're all going to do them. I'm not say all, but most of them, I think seven of them, will be doing their bench things at Georgia's Pro Day. A couple of them, you know, like Dominic Sanders and some of the other guys, chose not to do anything on the field. Now, like Davin had a hamstring injury. Sanders got hurt working out at XOS. And so that Pro Day is going to be very – it's not going to be just going through the
I think
motions.
What day
now, some of those guys
on? What day is that on?
The 21st.
I mean, what day is the 21st?
Oh, I think it's usually like a midweek.
Is it a Tuesday? We get all these coaches over.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yep. Oh, we need to invite the coaches over. I'm going to invite Belichick and some of those guys over and get some chicken.
There you go. All right.
Absolutely. Bring them in. Bring in the sweatshirt. And here's the thing.
You think we give them a rival shirt?
No. They don't deserve that.
We can get some gloves or something.
Not after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. No. I'm a spike history. He don't get any good chicken. We'll get him chicken from elsewhere.
They get lobster up there, man.
Yeah. I'll give you a quick story. I was talking to one scout. And I'm like, okay, tell me honestly, what do you guys think of I don't want to mention the player because I don't want to get out. And he goes, It was a Georgia player.
Worst thing you can say is tell me honestly.
Yeah. And he's like, well, we like him, but we don't like him till about the, middle of the second round. I'm like, okay,
Was this a
scout. And I'm like, okay. Somebody else who I work with up there asked about a different player at the same position, and he said the exact same thing.
Well, he had the pat answer there.
Yeah, so I was like, I got a lot of emails, a lot of texts, a lot of questions. Hey, what do the scouts, what do the managers, what do all these people say about these? And I'm like, look, after the first day, I stopped asking because they're not telling you a thing.
Why would they?
Exactly. So, just shooting the breeze. Sometimes we're waiting on a guy to come in, and I'd ask him, and they're like, they know you're a reporter. They know the story they want to get out versus what they're actually going to do. So I did not report any of that garbage. Because I'm like, this is all fake.
Have you ever been in one of those war rooms?
No.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Jarvis Hanna with a really interesting question here, I think. He says, of the dogs who competed at the Combine, do you think that we'll see them run better times or do more bench press reps at Georgia during the pro day?
One will. I expect Davin Bellamy is going to do a lot better than his 15 reps. Because I asked him about it. He said that on about the 13th one, when he went up, he hit the rack.
Ah.
And it said it kind of jarred him, and then he struggled through the next two. But he says in practice, he has done 20 or more, in his workout. So he should be able to bump up his numbers. I think Sony Michel will run faster than a 4.52. I think he could actually get into the 4.4s.
I think Roquan could improve his time.
Roquan hurt his calf or something?
Yeah, he came up. You saw him come up gimpy after that first run. So, but, 4.51 for a middle linebacker?
That's what I'm saying.
You don't need too much.
I know.
But he could.
How about De'Ron Payne running 4.9? That's pretty impressive, wasn't it?
Oof.
Hey, what do you weigh, 317?
Hey, Shaquem Griffin.
Hey, that was the story of the whole combine, like regardless of which team you cover.
Kind of shows you because he ran a 4.38, then ran a 4.58. So
yeah, he was tired.
Yeah.
Okay. Another interesting question here.
Just a tremendous story, though.
I love it.
Absolutely.
He was the talk of the combine. That's all anybody talked about.
Take what you got and do something with it.
And I feel like it's so rare to
Ian Barkley
to get a to get a feel good story like that from something like the combine. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome to see. So
do you remember that seriously though that Barkley was going to Rutgers until James Franklin came to Penn State?
I did not know that. Wow.
Boy. That's what happens when you sit around and read about these guys. But that's pretty interesting. Rutgers could have used him.
Yeah, I should say so. Jason Rayburn. This is an interesting
tight
one.
End. Tell us about that tight end from Penn State. He's got to be a freak, too. The one ran 6.
Oh, Galecki.
Oh, yeah. The kid was lights out. I had to start looking him up because I didn't know him. So I'm like, who what?
And I remember catching all those passes 2 years ago in a Rose Bowl when they lost that tight game to SC. He was on fire.
We had a room of – they put – like four ballrooms together. They had room for 720 journalists. What they
plus
actually
you,
had
– Plus you.
Yeah, plus me. Yeah, plus another guy.
You're the multifaceted.
He sat in a broom closet.
Yeah. What did they have you rated as? A 5-star journalist or 4-star? What were you?
Undrafted free agent. So
you were high.
I was high.
They brought you out there to ask the questions, man, because you questioned them.
They had all this room for – because in years past – we're like shoulder to shoulder. Nobody could do anything. So they put us in the Civic Center, and where they have all these giant conferences. And they take this huge ballroom. There's room for 720 people. They had about 100 journalists there. So, there's all this room, and there's TVs all around it. And when that tight end went off, all of a sudden everybody kind of got up from their seats and walked forward and were watching the replays and stuff. And then they're talking about him, and then they're like, who's that? You know, because nobody right. really knew him.
So did they have any media dinners out there for you? They
no.
give you any groceries or anything?
Nah.
Nothing for
but
you?
But no, none.
No gear, nothing. NFL cheap.
They did feed it. They would feed you lunch, breakfast and lunch, but dinner you're on your own, well, which is great because I'm not going to eat with those guys.
Who do you get the credentials from? NFL.
NFL. Yeah.
So did they vet you?
Yes, absolutely. Half Palestinian man. Hell no. So we got the credentials through Dash. You know, we make Anthony Dasher up, like, because everybody likes him.
He's a credential man.
Yeah. Then I show up and actually do the interviews.
Did Dash go to?
No, Dash had stuff to do here. Remember, we still got to cover baseball games and basketball games, and he went down to Savannah to see his nephew. So I mean, this is
a tough weekend.
We got recruiting to cover.
And
I mean,
tough
it never stops.
And, baseball and tennis.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're going to fit anything in for pretty much the rest of the year, this is about as slow as anything's going to yes. get. So you might as well take advantage of
it. Hey, we got a big tennis match tomorrow against Ohio State. Anybody really doesn't watch tennis, people that watch it will be there, but that's going to be a great match at 2:30. A little worried about the weather, about the wind and everything, but big match. Get out there and watch the Dogs play Ohio State. Big match.
You're not getting tennis coverage from anybody other yeah. than Jim Donnan. I love that. Jason Rayburn, this is a very interesting hypothetical here.
I thought you were going to say Jason Raider.
He says, do you think
good transfer. Will
he's actually here and asking questions.
Will Trent Thompson have a better pro career than college?
I would say that everything's ahead of that kid as long as he stays healthy, gets the right system. You just can't run like that and not be a really good pro player if you get in the right position. You know, he's had some up and down injuries and all, and he had a change in coaches, not only head coach but position coach. So regardless of who's right or wrong when things like that happen, sometimes it works out better, sometimes it doesn't. But I think the skill level, it's like you guys had him rated 5-star out of high school. I mean, there's not a lot of guys like that, defensive linemen, can run like that. If he stays injury-free and works at it hard, gets with the right coach, I think he'd be a good pro.
I think a lot of it's going to have to do with the support network he has at whatever school takes him. He's got to
– Needs confidence.
Needs yeah. confidence, needs somebody to work with him, needs – I don't want to say hold his hand, but he needs to be interacted with – he'll need to be brought along. If
he's
that
really,
happens, then it will happen.
He's really a smart guy, though. Have you ever – I mean, sometimes I don't go to many practices, but I go over there occasionally, particularly on, you know, in the spring on a Saturday if they have a scrimmage or something. And he was hurt last year.
Yep.
And I'm standing on the sideline with him. And he's giving me a play-by-play all these kids because a lot of – new guys were here, and all that's the first day I'd seen him. I mean, it was like talking to you or Jake about what they could do, what they couldn't do. He knew everybody out there and was talking about, oh, yeah, this guy's a good player in high school. He ran a da 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 da. I thought I was talking to a pro scout, you know?
Yeah.
So he really understands the game. He said, he's got to work on his backup. He's got to do. I said, come on, Trent. I mean, I was impressed with that.
Yeah. I mean, again, very bright. He needs a good support network, and I mean, I asked him, well, so, you know, you had a lot of big games. What was your favorite? And he goes, oh, you know, the Liberty Bowl, TCU, I had 3 sacks, 8 tackles, 4 for loss, you know. And, I mean, just went through the stats. And
most valuable player, wasn't he?
And I asked him that. Were you named the MVP? Yes, sir, I was. You know, well, but he didn't bring that up.
Well, all you got to do, if you're a pro guy, they'll come in and test him. Watch that play against Alabama when he comes inside out on the guy.
And kills a wide receiver?
I mean, that's going to be – that's going to help him.
Oh, and, absolutely.
But he's going against some really good guys. I mean, that there's some D linemen up there in that list. I mean, you watch them run, and then you watch that agility stuff they do and all that. I mean, there's some really big cats that can move on that agility.
Well, and the thing about Trenton, too, that everybody has to keep in mind, I think, is that he's still young. I mean, he came out after 3 years. You know, he's still
was
got
– 20?
Yeah, I mean
– well, that's my point. He's not – as, you know, world-wise, you know, mm-hmm. as Roquan Smith.
He's a young man getting ready exactly. to be a man. He's going
to –
hopefully
– because Roquan's the same age, you know, but I'm just saying that Roquan just seems a little more professional, more ready for this stage. But if you take care of Trenton, he will take care of you, and he will have that big thing. And someone asked him, you know, what technique do you like the most? He's like, I love the three. That's where I want to be. I want to be three. I can play five. I can go all these other ones. And he goes, I like taking on the multiple blocks. I love it. And I'm like, are you insane?
You ask any defensive lineman, they're going to say they like the three because they're on the outside shoulder of a guard instead of the inside shoulder of a tackle.
But, I mean, he started breaking it down more and more.
Somebody to cover, you want a safety or a corner?
And so he was just when it came to the football questions, he was killing it. You know, he was absolutely – and he said, I want these double teams. You know, I want to free up my linebackers. You know, I want to do this and do that. And I'm like, okay. You know, you're saying all the right things. You know, you're – again, checking the box.
Sure.
Each guy, you know – and here's a question that drove me nuts. And as gets asked every year, if a team drafts you, what are they getting? You know, I'm going to be the hardest working player on the team. I'm a guy who never gives.
I don't know. I
every
suck.
Whistle. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say
why
that.
Why are you wasting your time with this stupid question?
Right, but you know that part is not near as salient as the interviews with the individual coaches. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think they get in there and they talk to the coach and they get them up on the board and they, you know, do all those things, particularly with a quarterback. I mean, you got
So should Lamar Jackson play wide receiver?
I think you got to give him a shot at quarterback just because you see many of these guys up there now that are functioning, you know, whether it's Wilson or whoever it might be that have the mobility to go where they're running. And that's where I just think everybody in Georgia's got to remember, too, this little point. What time is it now? I'm going to make sure I make this at 12:54 today. Everybody that I've talked to, which I don't talk to many guys over there, you know, but they're doing some stuff on their own, you know, with the other players and just talking about the Tom arm that Fields has, you know, about how far he can throw it. He doesn't throw it quite as hard as Eason, but, you know, everybody talks about the multiple running quarterback. You know, you think about the dual threat. This guy is a passer, too.
And passer first.
And they call me up from Chip Towers, ask about, you know, comparing the situation. I said, hey, he's going to thrive in competition just like Jake did last year. He got better because of it, and Jake took that as a real challenge. So, hey, Jake's going to be better for having him out there, and he'll improve because he's knocking down the door. But just don't get too fired up about, hey, this guy's a runner. This is a passing quarterback that can run.
No question.
And he's bigger than any running back that's played at Georgia since who?
Oh, God.
Can tell us a back that's his
Richard
size.
Richard Samuel?
Who's the biggest back?
I maybe. Mean,
that's got to be the biggest one
so
I can think of.
So what's he, 6'4", 227 now or something like that?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I like some of those quarterback runs. Occasionally, Kirby. Just run a few of them.
You see the offensive coordinator. But just, I like, just give me a couple, Kirby. Just give me a couple.
I like just what Jake's doing leadership-wise out there with the kids, you know, off-season program. He's just hard to take that kid out of the lineup. He's such a good player. I know that our coaches are doing a really good job of talking to other schools just like they did last year, you know, hey, getting some ideas about what we can do to branch out or having other schools in here or going and talking to quarterback coaches around the country. You know, there's a lot of good things. I can't say where they're going, what they're doing, but it's good that we're not standing pat. You know, we're looking at and we're being real careful about who we let come in here and talk to us too because, you know,
You might see him again.
No, everybody wants to come in and talk when you're winning, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's just the way it is. But I feel good about – and you broke the staff down for everybody before it even happened. But I feel good about the way things are rolling there on offense, hearing a lot of good stuff about the new Hankton guy coaching receivers. And then, you know, being able to keep Jay Johnson I think is big to help Coley. You know, not that Coley needs it, but, you know, he's got a constant there. It's been in the room. And then Coach, you know, we can see Cheney doing a really good job of masterminding everything. You know, you go in his office, I mean, he's got every play in the history of football up there. I mean, if somebody came in and erased that, he would have a coronary. I never seen so much stuff up there. He said, well, let's do it. Make sure I got something to draw from. I mean, hey, he's got plenty. We got the plays now. We just got to select them. But I was kind of on a roll here talking about Fields and Fromm, but man, that looks good to me to have those two guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost as good as a sandwich.
Quick side note here. Tyler Stover says, and this just came down, Yonte Maton named AP SEC Player of the Year.
Congratulations. Yeah, well-deserved.
Well-deserved, for sure.
It was just a tough game the other night, man. I thought we had that game, and, you know, we got a tough road to hoe, but just can't score down the clutch there. We couldn't make the – I don't want to – I hope some good things will happen here. But that's great for Yonte. Good team guy. He came back. He's going to make some money out of the coming back like this. I mean, absolutely. He really did come back.
He could have got paid last year, but I think he is exponentially higher on the board than he was.
Yeah, and that honor will certainly help that.
But memo to him, everybody else, hey, down the clutch, throw it to him inside and let him get foul.
We're coming up here on the end, so I want to make this our last question before we kind of wrap things up here. Because you're talking about him being a team guy, we talked about all the star power up at the combine this year. Dylan Brooks, he says, will the loss of leadership lead to a loss on the field, or will enough guys step up and fill in that leadership role?
The one overriding thing that I feel good about, that supersedes anything here, is the fact you've got a coach that played here that understands how important leadership is. Kirby saw it when we were here. We didn't have a very good karma. You know, we didn't really blend good the first year. We had people thinking about who the but he understands how important it is to develop leaders. You recruit leaders too. You know, you tell a guy like, hey, I can see you being captain here. You know, we're going to give you these kind of tools to make you better. So, and it's a very vivid description that they can make the comparison between the lack of leadership 2 years ago and the leadership this year. So you're telling your team, look at this model we followed. Nobody really was worried about who was getting the credit. Everybody was working out hard. You know, this is what we got to do to get better. You got to improve. You got to set the tone. And you got a freshman quarterback that just led you to the national championship game that really knows the leadership skills. You got a lot of guys on defense that are coming back that have that. And I think we don't have quite as many of the older guys that demonstrated that are back. But I would say leadership is one of our least worried things for me. I think we'll have great leadership.
I don't know about that. Not so fast. Now,
what do you base that on?
Well, no, I will say this.
Because we think we got him eighth?
No, when you look at the fact that you lost your top two running backs, you lost your top inside linebacker, you lost your top two outside linebackers.
That's the team, though. That doesn't have anything to do with the leadership.
Let me make the point. When you lost your best offensive lineman, these are all huge, your top wide receiver. These were all leaders at their position groups. These are guys that were team leaders. Those guys coming back, everyone looked up to them. They all postponed their paychecks, so they had skin in the game, and they made everybody else respond accordingly. I asked that specific question a couple different times about who are the leaders that you left behind. And to Coach's point, it's not going to be a problem because when – Dominic Sanders said, before I left, you could see it in Jake Fromm's eyes when he walked off the field after the national championship game. He said he was ready to come back. He'd been there. He had tasted it. He's ready to come back. And he and Terry Godwin both told me, we'll be back. And we're going to win it this time. And I'm like, okay, well, there's your quarterback leader who was, you know, kind of a leader last year because he's a true freshman, but he will be an even bigger leader this year. There's your wide receiver guy that can place Javon Wims. You know, you got him. Andrew Thomas.
Swift, big.
He also mentioned DeAndre Swift, so you got a leader there. Now, he says DeAndre Swift is a very quiet guy, but he's talked about how much time he spent, you know, watching film after everybody's left. We hear that occasionally, but it's good to know that your running back's doing it. He's not just lining up getting the ball. on John Atkins said, you know, he mentioned Tyler Clark, Julian Rochester, Ledbetter. He said Tyler Clark is going to take over my spot. He even said Daquan Hawkins. He said Daquan Hawkins got in there a lot. Those guys will take over the head-banging responsibilities I had in that zero and one techniques, you know, play nodes. So they were naming all these guys.
Throwing out this jargon to us today. Zero.
Well, just saying. Well, then they had the
can he snatch a one technique?
Yeah, exactly. That Lorenzo Carter was talking about the guys coming up behind him. He says, you know, Walter Grant is coming on. You guys don't know it, but you're going to see him. He goes, DeAndre Walker, that guy is going to be a terror. So they were giving, and overall, in general, all the guys that were at the combine said wonderful things about Georgia. And that's not to say that, you know, you expect that somewhat, but they went out of their way, I don't want to say to market for Georgia, but to talk about it. It wasn't just, I'm out of there, let's talk NFL stuff. They kept bringing it back around to their time at Georgia. And I did, you know, they say Georgia prepared me for this. And so if you were Kirby Smart, you had to love the interviews they gave. But point being, at every
position. You had to love having you out there asking those questions.
A lot of that stuff came up from questions that I didn't ask. You know, someone would ask them, do you see yourself as a 3-4 or 4-3 guy? And they're like, look, when I was playing for Mel Tucker, and then the follow-up question from that other guy would be, you know, what did you think of Mel Tucker? And they would rave about him. So it was a giant infomercial for Georgia. But to their point, Lorenzo Carter, John Atkins, Isaiah Wynn, the running backs, wide receivers, everybody mentioned not only guys to look out for next year, but leaders on that team who are going to be vocal guys who are going to step up. So I tease you about saying, you know, not so fast, but we actually had – they named names as to who are the leaders are going to be next year. So,
plus, you got staff solidarity, too.
Yeah, and staff –
I mean, you lost a couple coaches, but, you know, it's not like – I mean, even though we talk about, hey, they're just going to reload at Alabama, you got 9 new coaches at Alabama, 5 new staff guys. Wow. So they got 14 people out of 16 are going to be new this year.
Jeez. But Nick, yeah, but they Nick's, still got Nick, Nick there. So.
I mean, that's a heck of a turnaround, man.
Yeah. Sure. Speaking of turnaround, let's turn around some sponsors and –
yeah, I just want to give a quick shout-out before we head out to 11 Alive Sports. Be sure to like their page. Be sure to share it for your chance to win the game-worn gloves. Thanks to Athens Ford. Swing out there. It's March. Good time for you to swing out there and get a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle. The only Athens dealership, the only Ford dealership in Athens. Other people say that, but it's not true. Big shout-out to EuroPie, 314 Pie Day. Swing by there and get all your pizzas. Shout out to 365 Game Day and Cable East. And, of course, Champions, come by here, grab these lunch sandwiches. You can't beat it. And like I said, if you want the tamales, you know, you're not going to get them any better here unless you go all the way up to Indianapolis. So, and even then, I'd say it's a tie. So swing by. And when you do, let them know that you were watching the show. We'd appreciate it. And that's all we got for this week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.